Morning, church. How are you all today? I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year. It's first service for 2018. Who feels good? Who's excited? Like, who's excited about 2018? I got to tell you, I am so excited about it. You know, it's a funny old thing that the turning of a day, calling it a new year, makes us feel all new and all excited that things can happen. But I'm taking it anyway. I'm taking it anyway. I feel excited. You know, I feel like God has led us on a journey and He's continuing to lead us on a journey as OCP. He's just, the more I look back and the more I think about looking forward, the more I see that He is just the great architect. That He is the one behind the scenes. He's the one that makes it happen. That it's His plan and that He's faithful to make it happen. And so I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited for what God is going to do. And I want to give Him all the honor and praise and glory because it's just amazing. So stick around, church, because this year we're going to see breakthroughs all across the board. We're going to see miracles this year. We're going to see lives transformed on a Rick Large scale. Your life will be transformed this year. The lives of the people in your world will be transformed this year. I can guarantee you that one way or the other. I'm that convinced that God is at work, and I'm so excited about what is in store for us this year, church. So, I don't know, give the Lord a round of applause. I'm very excited about that. I've got to tell you, sometimes you don't know exactly what things are going to look like, but it doesn't matter because you just know the one who you follow and you know what He's like and you know what He does and you know what He's done before and you know what He's promised He's going to do in the future, and that's enough for me. That's enough for me, and I'm very, very excited about this Read Scripture journey that we are on. Raise your hand if you're part of that journey. Have you started? Have you got the app? Raise your hand if you haven't yet managed to get the app. Okay, well, we can help you if you're still struggling with that. Please make sure that you let Pastor Matt know. He can help you if you're a bit like me and I type like this. Well, one finger at a time with my welding helmet on in my thing. You don't know about computers as much. That's all right because we have people who do. And so we can help you out there. But guys, look, let me just say this. If you have one New Year's resolution this year, who has a New Year's resolution? Only a few of us. It's not really a thing people do anymore, is it? I've been looking on Facebook recently and I've been seeing consistently posts about don't make New Year's resolutions. And I guess it's because no one ever keeps them, do they? No? Has anyone ever kept a New Year's resolution? Oh, wow. Well, good for you. But let me just say, if there is one you want to make and you want to keep, and we can all keep each other accountable for this, it's this. Read your Bible every day. Read with us. Read with your family. I promise you, the best investment of your time and energy that you can make will be that 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, reading the Bible daily with your family and praying together. Guarantee you, best investment you can make for your time and your energy. So if you're with us, you will start on January 1st and today up to Genesis 21 and Psalm 7. Is that right? Who's done their readings? Who's managing it? Okay, that's good for some of us that we're managing it, but we want to keep on going. And the reason why I think it's important is we've decided is that we're going to be preaching through the week's section of scriptures that we've been reading. So what we've been reading so far this week, that's where the message is going to come out of. And this is what's, if you're one who says, I've tried reading the Bible and it doesn't make sense to me, it's too hard to understand. Well, this year, you're going to have everybody in the same boat as you. You have a personal teacher with you every day with those videos that they put up on Read Scripture. Everyone's going, you can talk to anyone around it, and you're going to have a sermon every week thereabouts where we talk about what's going on in the Bible. This year is the year to get biblically literate, church. Amen? And remember, as we behold God, we become like Him. We reflect Him. And so that's the answer to so many things. So very, very exciting. If you haven't started already, it's not too late. Jump on board, download. Yeah. So we started today, we started this journey, and we're in Genesis, probably a book we've all read before. And the word Genesis, who knows what the word Genesis means? Don't change the slide yet. Who knows what Genesis means? The beginning. The beginning. Genesis was actually a book that was written by Moses after the time of the Exodus. Oh, hello. So Moses wrote the book of Genesis after the Exodus four books after that, which I won't go into, it's a spoiler alert. But he wrote it for the reason of he wanted his people, God's chosen people, to know where they came from, why they're here, and how do they relate to their God. And he wrote it down, and it became a part of their schooling system. Like, that is what they would teach in school wasn't maths and social studies and science, but it was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the reason was is because they were forming a culture. They were forming a people of God so that when the nations of the earth would look at them, they would see they're a blessed people, their God is a good God. And that's got profound implications for us today. Because Genesis, when we start the year and we start in Genesis, we're asking the question, why are we here? Where do we come from? How do we relate to this God of ours? What a beautiful place to start. You know, we talked a lot last year about having God's heart for the lost. And I believe this year part of what God is getting us to do is to really get to know him. And before you can have his heart for the lost, you got to know his heart for you. Did you know that? No amount of striving or trying or events or whatever is gonna get you a heart for the lost until you know God's heart for you. So this is where we're starting. We're starting at the start. We're saying, how do we relate to this God? Why are we here? So if you've been reading, you'll know that, and you've been watching the videos, you'll know this much, is that Genesis 1 to 11 is like a bunch of stories, isn't it? It's an account of the creation where God brought, just order out of chaos. He made a beautiful garden, a good world. Seven times he calls it good, and he puts humans in charge of it and gives them the job of having his image, which means reflecting his character, representing his leadership on the earth, and harnessing the potential of creation to create beauty and order from it. He gives them that. And then what happens is he calls that good. He says, we live in a good world. He created a good, everything's good, you're good. And then we see there's a collection of stories after that where in the garden, everything was going swimmingly, and mankind had this perfect relationship with God, had their perfect relationship with creation, had this perfect relationship with each other. And then God gave them the dignity of the choice to say, will we continue allowing God to tell us the divine good and evil for us, or will we seize autonomy and decide that for ourselves, which was represented by the tree of good and evil. And we can see what happens is that mankind chooses to seize autonomy and rebel against God. Now, this is probably a story that most of us know. But when you look at the rest of Genesis 1 to 11, you see it's a spattering of different stories, isn't it? There is them getting chucked out of the garden, then there's Cain and Abel, and then there's all these different characters. There's this character called Lamech. We hear about this character called Lamech who collects wives for himself. He sings a song about Cain being a violent man, but he's even more violent. He's bragging about it. And you can see that what's happened is when humanity has decided to take good and evil and defining that for themselves, humanity does a pretty bad job of it. Genesis 1 to 11 explains this story. There's a smacking of stories of where different people at different times, they have decided, I will decide what is good and what is bad. And what has genuinely ended up happening is they decide a system which benefits me and my tribe, even if it means stomping on you and your tribe. And that's, you know, we can see that has played out. There's nothing has changed really in the world in however many thousand years it's been. 6,000 years. Do you know what I'm talking about? We can see that humanity by itself is pretty bad at deciding what is good and what is evil without God. But what we can also see is when we look at these stories, they seem quite random, but we've got to see the theme in which the author Moses is trying to get across. We can see that God, you know, we have the flood. God decides, you know what? Everybody on this earth is like Lamech. Everyone on this earth is like Cain. They've moved too far away. They've got it wrong too much. Every desire of a man's heart is inclined towards evil. And it says his heart was grieved. He was sorrowful. He was repentant that he'd even made humans in the first place. And so he decides, okay, we're going to start again with one family. He picks Noah. Noah is a good man, a second Adam, the Bible calls him. He was commissioned as the new Adam, and it's looking really good until Noah fails. He plants a vineyard, he gets drunk, and something shameful happens. His son does something shameful to him in the tent when he's passed out. And then we see that we have this new Adam, naked and ashamed, just like the first Adam. And the spiral continues downward until we get to the Tower of Babel, where they want to come together, and humanity have decided we want to make ourselves so great that we just say we don't need God. Now, can you see any themes that are like the crossover for our own lives? Now, remember what Genesis is for. It was for Israel to know where they came from, how they relate to God. It's what's called a meta-narrative. And what a meta-narrative is, it's an overarching... I've got the definition of it here. An overarching account or interpretation of events or circumstances that provide a pattern or structure for people's beliefs and gives meaning to the experiences. So that means is we're not supposed to read these stories by themselves, just by themselves. They all point to the same thing, the same key themes. And that is that God created a good world. Humanity repeatedly blunders and fails. But God is faithful to rescue and bless. God is faithful to rescue and bless. We see it everywhere we look. Is that God's heart is so turned toward rescuing his creation, is so turned towards blessing his creation, that even though every time he gives them a chance, they stuff it up, he makes a way to pull them out. God is faithful in rescuing and blessing him. And what we learn, especially from Genesis 3, 15, it says that it talks about a wounded victor. It says that it's talking about Jesus when he's coming. It predicts Jesus way before he comes. Sorry, my computer's off. Here we go. He says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel, talking to the snake. So even from the beginning, it all points to Jesus. So if you've been reading along with us this week, you should be picking up on these themes. That God is a good God. He created a good world. The humanity blundered it all the time, and that God is faithful to rescue us. So today what I wanted to do is I just want to have a look at a few applications for our own lives about what can we pull from this. The first one is this, that you should know, is that God is more interested in your salvation than you could ever be. And it's been that way from the very beginning. That's exciting news for me. Is that exciting news for you? God is more interested in your salvation than even you are. Come on, that's exciting news. So that means that there's no striving involved. There's no striving involved in any of this. God uses people who consistently get it wrong. In the Bible. And every time he's faithful to bring about salvation. I don't know about you, but consistently it's a struggle with striving in my life. It's consistently this battle between what I think I should be and what I am. I don't know if you can relate to that. This battle between what people see me as and what I see in the mirror in the morning. And I believe that in every single one of us, there is a small part of us that sees a fraud when we look in the mirror. Do you know what I'm talking about today? This is the crux of what this means to me, this passage of Scripture. Is that in every single one of us, especially, I'll just say from my perspective, and you can agree with me if I'm saying something that you know what I'm talking about. Please agree with me. Let me know that you're listening to me. Let me know that I'm hitting a mark. But there's every day there is this battle between the face you put on for the world and the face you see in the mirror. Amen. And we think like, God has forgiven me. Jesus is King. And so he's forgiven my sins. He's set me free of these things. And so I should be able to just be myself. And I live in a community of people who are in the same boat as me. They all have dysfunction. They all have things that they're working on. And yet, still, I put on a front. I put on a face. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? If we're honest with ourselves. You know what I think that shows? I think that shows that we don't quite understand these truths about God. We don't quite understand these truths that are being presented through Genesis. What Moses is trying to get across is that God is more interested in your salvation than you will ever be. And so even though I look in the mirror and I feel like there's a fraud looking back at me some days, I know that that's not true. It's not true because why? Because God has made me the way I am. God is with me today. God has renewed who I am. And even though I'm not perfect yet, not by a long shot, I am perfect in his eyes because of Jesus. When I sit in the mirror and I think to myself, like, this is what I think I should be, and then I know, but this is who I am, and I realize Like there is a disparity there. It's not because I want that. It's not because I want you to think highly of me. I want you to think anything other than what I am. It's, I think when that happens, it's because I don't realize that what is true about God, that God uses people like me, people like you, people who consistently get it wrong. So far in Genesis, we've read a bunch of stories about a bunch of characters, and none of them got it right all the time, did they? None of them got it right all the time. Not one of the characters. And this is something that stood out to me in reading through these things, is that you think of these heroes of the faith and you think about the people who made it into the Bible and you think there must have been somebody who were pretty special. And you know what I see? I see people like you and I see people like me. I see people who get it wrong. I see people who stuff up all the time. And I see that God is faithful to bring about his plan in their life. That God is faithful to bring about his purposes through them, not just in their life, not just about them, but he manages to bring about his plan and his purposes across the earth using broken people like you and like me. And so this is the takeaway from it for me, and it's something that has been, it's been hard to get my head around, and it's something that I think is something that is desperately needed to be talked about, and that is that we as a people, as a church, if we ever want to have a heart for the lost, truly want to have a heart for the lost, if we want to be effective at reaching the lost, if we want to be effective at reaching our next generation, then we really, really have to get honest with God and honest with each other. And look in the mirror and see the fraud and say, that's okay for right now. Because that fraud is not the fraud that was there 10 years ago. It was not there 2 years ago. God is busy working. God is busy in process. Like he was with all of these people, all of these great men. Some of them failed and they stayed failed. They reaped the consequences of their failure. Some of them failed. God redeemed them and they picked themselves up and they kept going. Some of them started out very strong, had a blip along the way. Whichever one it is, church, whichever one it is, you have to understand something today, is that God has, he has known you since before the beginning of time. He created you. He created you with a plan and a purpose. He sent you. He give you everything that you need. And you don't have to strive to be anything to me, to this church, to anyone around you, even to him, because you think he sees it? He sees straight through it all. So much so that he sent his son, because he knew. If it wasn't for him sending his son, he knew that the new covenant has been written, the law of God has been written on the hearts of men. Not on tablets anymore. He knew that the old system wasn't working. If we had to appear a certain way, we'd all fail. God sees into your heart. God sees into your motivations. God sees into everything that you have. And he knows it. You can't be a fraud in front of God. So church, here's the point today, is that if we want to have a heart for the next generation, if we want to have a heart for the lost, you've got to understand God's heart for yourself. You've got to be okay with the journey. You've got to take the pressure off so that you can be a perfect Christian 100% of the time. I've got to be 100% honest with you. I mean, something happened to me yesterday. And, you know, I preached on the 17th of December. And I talked about the success of your Christianity being the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, love, joy, peace. I've got to tell you that I struggled big time with my humanity yesterday. Love, joy, and peace were not a part of what was growing in my garden, let me tell you that. Confusion, rage, anger, embarrassment were all there, and they were there persistently yesterday. It was really, really tricky. And I had to face it. I'm like going, you know, and I couldn't shift it immediately. And that's what, you know, that's part of what this is about, is that, you know, by the grace of God, I didn't do anything permanent.
Because how do you, how many of you know that in those times when you have to just embrace your humanity, that's the danger zone. That's when you can act on those things and you can do something permanent. But by the grace of God, I managed not to. Well, self-control was there, yeah. But in that moment yesterday when I was throwing tantrums and I was not very thankful for everything I have in my life, and I was, all of the things I was doing and saying, and I wasn't any different to how I am standing before you today. I'm well dressed today, I've had a shower, I'm behaving, I'm on my best behavior. But I'm no different to how to how I was. It's the same me inside working the controls, isn't it? And if you'd seen me yesterday, I don't know what you would have thought of me. I don't know what you think of me. But what I hope you'd think of me is that there's Chris having a bad day. There's Chris having a bad day. Our bad moments shouldn't define who we are, should it? When we fly off the handle, when we have bad moments, that should not define. Ah, he's showing his true colours now, eh? What a stupid thing to say. That doesn't define who you are. I am all the bad moments, and I am all the good moments, and I'm everything in between. I'm there, but by the grace of God, I could have been anything except I am what I am today because of that. And if that's a good thing, then that's God. And if it's a bad thing, it means God's still working in my life. Amen? So church, here's what I want to say to you today is that I want you to really, we're gonna take communion. Ben, can I get the band back up, please? Guys, I want to say to you today that this year, focus your eyes on Jesus. I know it might even seem cliche. I know we say it all the time, but I just really want to hammer that home. Focus your gaze, focus your eyes on Jesus. Jesus doesn't sort of shun you when you're doing the wrong thing, when you're hurting. Because, you hurt and you can't control your humanity in those situations sometimes. No one's perfect all the time. Jesus is with you in those scenarios, in those situations. And you know what? What we tend to do is we go, well, Jesus is probably upset with me at the moment because I'm being a spoiled brat. But he's not. He's there with you, isn't it? He's there going through it with you. And if you can't find Jesus in those moments, if you can only find Jesus here at church, well, then I've got good news and bad news for you. The bad news is you don't know Jesus yet, and the good news is you've got a lot coming your way that's going to be awesome. You've got to be able to find Jesus in the worst moments that you're in. You've got to be able to find him wherever you are, whatever you're doing. He may be like, yeah, God, for the moment, then be like later on, come on now. Think about it. It's all good. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Can we have the ushers distribute the emblems, please? What we read in Genesis with these characters, God had a plan from the beginning on how to make it right with them, how to make it so that humanity didn't have to repeat this cycle over and over and over and over again, where humanity didn't have to come back to failing at every point and God having to bail them out every time. God had a system from the very beginning. Jesus was the answer to humanity's problem that God had in the works the whole time. Jesus, He defeated evil at its source. He was the wounded victor that the Bible talks about. Jesus ushered in the new covenant. He made it possible for man and God to commune again. And I may wait until the emblems have gone around. You guys can start to play if you like. You know, the thing is with this new covenant, is it means that the veil is torn between man and God. That part of the fall has been repaired. You can have communion with God every day, every minute of every hour. God is there waiting for you. If you believe in faith that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, He died on the cross for your sin and your shame. That's what it means. Is it means that humanity messed it up every single time. And the only way to break that cycle was for Jesus to die for the sin and the shame that brought. And you, by the fact that you're a human being, are caught up in that. But Jesus died for your sin and your shame, so that He may come and make you a new creation. That word new creation means that the old, the things that govern us, the tantrums, all of those things, all of the old ways of thinking, the old attitudes, the old ways of, you know, the behavioral issues, all of those things, Jesus came to make them new again. He came to deal with them in the moment, whenever you needed Him to. Whenever you needed Him to be there, He's there. If you'll only turn your heart towards Him, He will make it new. He will make you new. He cut evil off at its source so that you don't need to be affected by it anymore. We have the blessed Holy Spirit with us now. And He's a miracle working God. And He does amazing things, but to me the most amazing thing is when I'm being a fool and He gently puts His hand on my shoulder and says, "Chris, this isn't who you are." And He changes me. He doesn't judge me for who I am, but that He knows I've got no chance of my own. In the day to day, week to week of my life, moment by moment, circumstance by circumstance, situation by situation. Yeah, there's just some things that you come across in life where it's not straightforward in the Bible. It's not like a reference page 365, you know, .61. This is how you're supposed to act in this circumstance. You need the Holy Spirit to tell you, to be there with you. And that's the beautiful thing, is that God works with people just as you are. Just as you are today. Just as you are. Doesn't matter if you did. If you've never met Jesus in your life before, if you've never heard about Him, if you've never met Him, it doesn't matter what you're doing and who and what you're about, He'll work with you there. It doesn't matter if you've been in church for 50 years, for 40 years, for 30 years. It doesn't matter if you've gone stale. It doesn't matter if you did have a roaring relationship with Him before and now it's nothing more than pale religion. If you turn your heart to Him today, He'll work with you there. He will work with you there. Do you know there's so many great teachings out there about the steps out of different scenarios, but the best one I can think is just a one step one, is that's turn your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes on Jesus. He knows about it all. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're doing. We're going to sing a song now, and then we're going to take communion after that. Is that okay?